Bum, bum, bum. Welcome back to the A-List Lowdown, coming at you with our election recap and maybe some predictions. And I don't really have a lot of, I do have a couple of short clips, just maybe the, where we might be headed, what might be going on, what at least my premier is saying, because obviously we're in the spotlight right now because everyone is saying Alberta's out of here. Way more than I thought, you know, even a bit of the mainstream are like, what's Alberta going to do? So we'll see.
Well, I do really do think Alberta and Saskatchewan really showed up to, you know, they really did show up and went all blue. I mean,
you're half red, buddy.
What? Yeah, no, that's just red. One little tiny riding. I mean,
on the map, it looks half red.
Put it this way. We're the only province that 338 predicted right, as far as I can tell. I mean,
really?
Nobody's talking about the predictions being so far off. I mean, this is 338's overall prediction here. Look at how far off that is. 180. So this is like, isn't this a huge conglomeration of all kinds of polling? Like this was supposed to be, right? 186 for the Liberals and 124 for the CPC. And then 23 for Bloc, 9 for
NDP. Pretty close on everyone else. Well, so it's actually a 20 point swing on seats between the Liberals and the Conservatives directly. I mean, surprisingly accurate on the other three. Like if I predicted that or you predicted that, the other guy would
They said 9 NDP and they got 7, and they said 23 Bloc and they got 22. So the Bloc's probably one of the easiest to predict. And the Green, they predicted Elizabeth kept her seat or whatever.
That's pretty good on those three. On those three, you'd give them an A on those three.
Not on the NDP one. No, they didn't predict the NDP collapses as much as they should have. But I mean, when you go into
that'd be a pretty good guess. If you had taken that down and had the Liberals at say 174 even and the Conservatives at 141, then all of a sudden you'd be like, hey man, that was a pretty close poll.
No. This dude, they should be bang on with this stuff. Everybody's going, look at Polymarket and all this stuff. Look at how bad this is. 186 to 124. That is way off, man. Nobody's talking about this. And how does that affect the actual votes?
Well, it shouldn't affect the votes.
Well, sure it should. If the polling is skewed one way, this is going back to my prediction I made months ago when I said Carney's going to come in. They're gonna lose like automatically a small percentage of Conservatives because it was at 80-20 back when we thought it was impossible for the Liberals to win. Remember when it was so bad last year that we thought there's no way the Liberals could win? And I predicted that Carney would swing in. They would lose a little bit of that. They would make the polls would make it seem like it's tighter, and they would pull off they would squeal one out. Actually, I kind of said steal it at the time. So, I mean, I don't know if they stole it or not, but they did it. They did what I predicted. Mind you, lately I was predicting a blue wave because I got caught up in the blue wave a little bit. I'm like, well,
I had like right up to the day before you were predicting.
I was like, I like my prediction from like long, like 4 months ago, way better, but. I mean, this is pretty good.
I don't think that the nature of polling is ever going to have it be good.
Dude, it's meant to be not good. I mean, they do it on purpose. I'm telling you, this is part of the whole thing.
Maybe. I just don't think polling should be affecting your voting.
Well, it does, though. You don't think people
not to vote.
They think it does. Whether it does or not, they think it does. But they're like, there's no point in going out because the Liberals are going to win. So there's no point in even going out.
The highest turnout in history.
The highest or the lowest?
The highest.
Was it?
Yeah.
Somebody said it wasn't, but maybe we can look at that. Well, but I'm happy with it because in some ways we get both of what we wanted. We get some fast change because we got, you know, Carney in to accelerate the demise or do whatever he's going to do. Like he's either got to come to center or he's going to accelerate the demise. Who knows what's going to really happen? I can't see him keeping on the same track. I mean, he's got to like think about.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, just on the stuff that we know on this show, he's more likely to open. I mean, here's the thing. He talks about, if he's to play the playbook, which we'll see what happens, but the playbook they've got is to say that they're green and not really be green, it seems like. You know, like that. It's like, yeah, we're green, but we got pipelines and this and that. And I mean, we had the thing, the stat, what was it, like a million flights to London just on that one farm they had or something like that down in South America. So, I mean, I think that he's going to fuck somebody over. It's just a matter of who. Is it going to be us? Or is it going to be all the people that he told out east that he wasn't going to do pipelines and stuff like that? Because I think there's a chance he's going to do a bunch of infrastructure. And I think we know who's going to do it. And it's going to be Brookfield. I think that's a chance anyway. Or he goes totally green, which is good for Alberta's separation movement, I would say. At a minimum, that's not terrible. I said on the show before, like we kind of joked about, it's almost better if it goes liberal again because the fervor is sort of higher than ever in the West. And if Pierre wins, he's not going to really give us much change. He's not going to change the electoral system so we have any real power. He's not going to change the Senate so we have any real say there. He's not going to change the equalization. He ain't going to change any of that stuff. He's just going to throw us enough of a bone to shut the fuck up.
Look at how close some of this was. 46%, 46.7 to 40.5, like less than 100 or 100, 1,100 votes off, like very small percentage off just to in Kelowna there.
And Vancouver, right?
Pitt Meadows is the last one. Pitt Meadows, Maple Ridge, where I grew up, is the last one to be counted. They're holding off for some reason, making that blue. So that's going to go blue. And then that'll make the total.
I think they've, yeah.
169 to 144. What?
Yeah, that'll bring it up to the 144 that Elections Canada is saying.
I mean, I think it's pretty good. I mean, we couldn't have really lost, much. What am I trying to say? We couldn't have lost much, much better than this, you know, honestly.
No.
Like, this is pretty good. I think look at all that blue. I mean, even that should be blue. It's a tiny little riding and it screws up the whole map. These two things. That's disgusting. Look at this one.
Do you think they cheated?
There's more votes than I thought about the 8,000 votes here. Well, apparently they brought in three candidates, ran all three. Something about all three Indian candidates or something. So either way, I can't, I'm not too sure exactly what happened there, but
my hometown area went blue. Good for them. Yeah. I thought they'd be, and I think they were projected to go orange.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. And then of course, downtown there's all the red. I mean, it's just. So do you want to keep talking about what you were saying there about, the separation and, the potential for that? I mean, there's quite a bit more, a lot of people
fast. I don't think, I mean, it'd be interesting. You got to assume that they're going to approve the throne speech. I mean, this is the thing about minority governments. I mean, they could honestly just topple him right when he tries to form government.
What, can you explain that?
Well, because he has to give his throne speech, which is like, it's like an automatic confidence vote, kind of like the budget. That's kind of where they figured that if he wouldn't have called the election, if Parliament would have been in, that even Jagmeet would have called the election if they brought Parliament back anyway, because he would have had to do this throne speech, which is an automatic confidence motion. So I don't think it'll happen, but technically, they don't have enough seats to do anything without the help of another party, and it can't be, then the Greens don't have enough. So they need the NDP or the Bloc on everything.
And what's stopping the NDP from just dissolving into them? I mean,
they don't want to. It's going to be interesting with Jagmeet out of the way, because
why didn't they want to? Why would they not want to?
Because then they lose they've already lost a bunch of money because they've lost official party status. So they can't be on any of the House committees. They can't ask as many questions at question period. And no, Northern Ontario is not going to make the cut. Sorry. Where was I? So NDP's got some real soul searching to do if they want to still be a serious party or not, because they just lost a shitload of money. So if I'm thinking from the And what's his name's gone now, right? Jugmeet's gone. I mean, I got a clip of him that I would rather not even not play, really, other than the fact that it's the last clip of him we should ever have to play on the show, which is a celebration in itself. He's definitely one of the cast of characters. Like, you got to admit, it's nice to get at least a new cast of characters. Like, it's like I was fucking sick of Trudeau. I'd rather hate on Carney for a few years. And I'm sick of Jugmeet. I'm really sick of Jugmeet. So, anyway, I think that the NDP does want to be a party deep down. I think that he sort of ran it into the ground. There was some clear division lines starting to form in the NDP between the House leader and the party leader. I forget the House leader's name, but he was already starting to publicly say that, hey, man, we don't care what Jugmeet says anymore. The next time we get a chance, we're going to vote non-confidence, because they could see what was happening. Their party was disintegrating, and now they've lost a bunch of money. They can't be on committees. And they're at a crossroads. It's like you say, do they want to just be the Liberal Party? And those places didn't vote Liberal. So if they do just dissolve into like who came in second place in a lot of those ridings, because a lot of things that was weird is a lot of those came down to Conservatives and NDP because of the union votes and stuff like that. So them those seven NDP seats aren't automatically Liberal if the NDP ceases to exist.
I don't know. It feels like just a further extreme left than the Liberals. I
mean, no, it's not, though. It's not, because that's not what the Liberals are supposed to be. But the people that are really holding the NDP together are still the workers, the worker people that are supposed to be. So, and I think that the Conservative Party has the ability to snatch a lot of that up, a lot of that worker support, the people support. They seem to be the party of the people right now. I mean, I don't know what the Liberals are. I mean, they kind of stole some of it at the end. But if the NDP wants to be a party, they need to find five seats somewhere. So I don't know. They've got to decide how to do that. Is the best way to do that aligning with the Liberals some more, like they've been doing for the past, you know, 7 or 8 years at least, and has driven the party close to extinction? Or do they want to show that does the new leader want to show that the new party maybe has a little bit of backbone and wants to be more like the Bloc, you know, where it's like hold the government to account?
Well, maybe it's I think that what it's showing is that we're turning into a two-party system. Just like,
that would be the thing.
There's no room for another party.
The third party is the separatist party.
Yeah. I mean, so here's a dumb question, but why wouldn't the Bloc and the Conservatives team up to become a majority? And on the basis of more autonomy for the what?
They don't have enough.
What do you mean?
They don't have enough seats between them. They still need the NDP.
Really?
Yeah. So the NDP holds the balance of power.
166. Wow.
The NDP holds the balance of power.
They beat them by 3. I mean, so do you think there's anything going on?
My prediction, anyway, is that the NDP wants to show that they are separate from the Liberals in a few, as many opportunities as they can. This, hey, man, we're kind of teaming up with them to get you this dental and this and that. That didn't work for them, so they got to come up with something. Or they could just cease to exist. But if they don't, then I think they got to show a little bit that they want to contest the Liberals. They got some backbone. They're for the people again, maybe a little bit. And they got to do that to the point where they think they've won, got 5 more ridings. And as soon as they think they can win 5 more ridings someplace, then they are going to be keen to call an election. And I think if you have a Liberal Bloc coalition, then I think that will push the Alberta out the door 100%. I don't think Alberta would put up with Quebec and Ottawa teaming up to run the government. That'd be a little bit too much. And like I said, from the Bloc point of view, to team up with the Liberals kind of is driving their own extinction. Or they could kind of be doing the same thing that the NDP just did to themselves by teaming up with the Liberals. Is after a while, it's like, well, why aren't I just voting Liberal then? So we'll see what happens. But I think that my prediction is we will vote again within 12 months.
Is this a hint that we have a really healthy system right here, that they're both at 6.3% and one has 22 seats and the other one has 7? Look at their votes are 13 votes off between the NDP and the Bloc. 13 votes off.
They're just spread out more, I guess, right?
I don't know. I mean, isn't this a weird, like, maybe we should just go through, before you do your things, maybe we should just go through some of the anomalies in our system. Like, that is, wouldn't you say that's a bit of an anomaly?
Yeah, probably.
22 over 7, the same exact votes. I mean, look at how close we are. I mean, look at how close they are too, but.
But that's because the Quebec gets more seats.
I know. That's. I'm going to show you another one here that shows about the seats. Where is it? Oh, now I can't find it. Oh, here it is. So let me just share this one instead. So this is like, this is from Mia here. How is this allowed? So the Maritime provinces, 2.5 million people rounded up, 32 seats. Alberta, 4.5 million people rounded up, 37 seats. So almost double the people and only 5 more seats. So each voter in Atlantic Canada has 55% more representation. Interesting. Yeah.
So if you take 16 away from them, yeah, all of a sudden it's a different ballgame and given to us.
And here's Denny Rancourt sort of ranting a bit about it. But here's the old, so this is 2021 here. Liberals 160 up to 168 from in 2025. Conservatives 119 up to 144. Block down 32 to 23. See, that's what I mean. These, it's like they both went up and these guys all went down. So it's like two party system. And then here's all that. Here's all that. Like, this is a really good visual representation of, you know, how it went, right? BC split down the middle. Then we go blue. It's like, it really is a geographical thing, right? It's so weird. We're in different universes. We are in a different reality. And I was thinking about it today because, you know, the people that are voting Liberal really are in a different reality. They're watching CBC, they're watching CTV, they're getting their news. And it's,
he was totally almost like cheerleading the Liberal Party.
The what?
I mean, even this morning I watched them a bit and they're just like, oh, we only need this many more seats for
I know. Job. It's so unbelievable.
We?
I know. They're saying, did you hear the clip about Charlottetown? Oh, we're glad that Charlottetown's okay.
Yeah.
Like, they're okay because they voted red. Like, oh my God. But look at how it just, as you go to the right, it gets red and the left is blue and we're in completely different universes. Here's a change in vote share since 2021. Percentage point change in party share of the total national vote. That's interesting.
Turnout. I thought the NDP would do better than they did.
Oh, and here's the turnout. So this is what, Seal, this is the, I thought it would have been more than that. You know, I really did. Wow, 2015, they did well.
That was Trudeau.
I gotta find Mar. Do you have Marty's by any chance, Anya?
No. That was Trudeau mania.
I don't really want to get too into conspiracies, but whoops. So I'll stop sharing that, but I do want to find Marty's
here. I'll play.
Of course, there's a lot of people talking about how it's rigged and stuff. I mean, especially Pierre's writing was pretty weird.
I'll play this clip from Danielle quickly anyway. It's because she had a whole statement on.
Did you read the whole thing? Or?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. On what if the federal government doesn't pony up and basically saying we're going to go to a referendum. I mean, that's the way I read it anyway, is we're going to have a referendum on our fucking sovereignty.
Really?
Coming up. I'll read it. I'll dig it up while this clip's playing. I might as well read it. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I think. I think that over 300 MPs got elected because they stood on a platform to get our resources developed, to work with provinces, to establish economic corridors, and to get our products to market. I think the NDP got crushed, the Greens got crushed, and the Bloc Québécois lost ground because they were opposed to that agenda. And so I would hope that the current prime minister understands that his mandate comes from moderate voters who actually want this province to be a genuine energy superpower and the country to be a genuine energy superpower. And so that's why I believe we saw the outcome that we got last night. It wasn't because they doubled down on extremist environmental policies that would crush our industry. It was the opposite. They depicted themselves as wanting to create a new approach, one that would be in sync with what all the provinces are asking for. And that's what I'll be asking the prime minister to do. I'll tell you what.
So there's the one little clip that's just from this morning, I believe.
That's an interesting take.
Well, still in that closed door meeting, Carney told her that his plan was to get Alberta's resources to market. So that's where I still think he's bait and switching someone. And I don't think it's a 0% chance that it's, you know, Quebec, we're blasting a pipeline through. Go fuck yourself. I mean, maybe Quebec still separates first. It's getting weird. So I was able to track this tweet down. I guess that's where the official statements come now on Twitter. She even put a picture that says response, full statement. So Daniel Smith, I congratulate Prime Minister Carney on his minority government election victory last night. I also want to sincerely thank Pierre for his powerful and principled advocacy against the last decade's punitive taxation and anti-resource policies that have made our country weaker, more divided, and overly dependent on the United States. Mr. Poilievre's vision for a safer, more affordable... Yeah, finally figured it out right after he gets booted out of politics. Mr. Poilievre's vision for a safer, more affordable, united, and prosperous Canada drove the policy debate in this country for the last several years and has inspired millions to see the unique potential of our nation. While Liberals and New Democrats demeaned and demonized Albertans, our values and industries for political gain, Mr. Poilievre made empowering Albertans and our energy sector a cornerstone of his campaign. His respect and admiration for Albertans could not have been clearer. He is and continues to be a true friend of Alberta. This is already posturing for that Alberta fucking federal seat. Come on over here and we'll find someplace for you to run. And maybe whoever stops running that seat will end up in the Alberta government. That sounds like how the little tap on the back system.
Well, I don't understand what you mean.
Oh, you could just read the cut because by then she already knows he's lost his seat. So,
I see. Okay.
I think he's going to end up with an Alberta MP seat is what I'm saying. He's going to end up with an Alberta seat. So he knows he's settled in for a while and not having to worry about it. You know, a nice conservative riding.
And you're saying, so what would happen there? Let's just be clear on this, because I heard from somebody that, they can just pop into whatever riding and push somebody out. They have to do a by-election.
But they have to do a by-election.
So they go into a safe riding that's very conservative, for example, with somebody that's maybe retiring that has their pension already, and they say, okay, let me into this riding so I can stay the leader as an MP.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right.
So as Premier, I invite the Prime Minister to immediately commence working with our government to reset the relationship between Ottawa and Alberta with meaningful action rather than hollow rhetoric. A large majority of Albertans are deeply frustrated that the same government that overtly attacked our provincial government almost unabated for the past 10 years has been returned to government. As Premier, I will not permit the status quo to continue. Albertans are proud Canadians that want this nation to be strong, prosperous, and united. But we will no longer tolerate having our industries threatened and our resources landlocked by Ottawa. In the weeks and months ahead, Albertans will have an opportunity to discuss our province's future, assess various options for strengthening and protecting our province against hostile acts from Ottawa, and to ultimately choose a path forward. As Premier, I will facilitate and lead this discussion and process with the sincere hope of securing a prosperous future for our province within a united Canada that respects our province's constitutional rights, facilitates rather than blocks the development and export of our abundant resources, and treats us as a valued and respected partner within Confederation. Our government will be holding a special caucus meeting this Friday to discuss this matter further. I will have more to say after that meeting is concluded.
Yeah, that's a good point. I see what you mean now. Yeah, she's definitely saying that we're going to discuss that. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you do that, if you kind of tie that in with what she was talking about before, with the, you know, where she actually said referendum, we're gonna have a referendum.
Yeah, Canada election. Look at this one, Kyle Kemper, Carney, Poilievre, Singh, Blanchette, May, Bernier, Trump. That's what happened. I mean, let me just show you here. This is. I feel sorry for conservatives living in Eastern Canada. At least Alberta is surrounded by like-minded people. So here's a good example of the PPC thing, right? Have you seen this?
I did, yeah.
This is how close to Brampton. There's a couple of Brampton ones that were super close in this one. So what Marty's showing here is Liberals won by 176 seats in Brampton, and the PPC got 274 votes. So, you know, this is kind of what I mean too, right? There's not, why even have a PPC? I mean, I know the platform is way more what I wanted, but it's never going to be like,
No, but that doesn't matter. Because it is a constitutionally protected right.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, all I'm saying is, it seemed like Bernier.
I agree with sabotage the thing.
Yeah. He's been a disaster.
I agree with you. But
here we go.
The solution can't be starting to delete parties because that just gets closer to the two-party system.
I know. I'm just being, hyperbolic with that. So here's another one. There's Buffalo, right? We're not taking Manitoba or Southern BC ever, no matter how much begging you do. There's Buffalo. There's our new state.
Nice.
What do you think of that one? That looks pretty good. At least I'm included. I'm right around there.
Are we a state in that one?
I don't know. I hope so.
I got bad news, buddy. If I was to predict it, I think it's only Alberta for now, at least.
So this is the thing I'm thinking of here. So average population density of the ridings. So, don't you think that should be a little more evened out, like a riding with a population density? Like, wouldn't that be a way to do it? I mean, it seems more geographical than population based, or I don't know how they do it, but.
Well, that's how Congress works, I think, right? In the States.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. I think it's a nuanced thing in Congress, I thought they said. But here's Alberta's at the top, of course, with that's the most people. Chart. What?
That's a great chart.
Oh, yeah. So Alberta's got the most with 125,000 plus in each riding, average population. Then BC, 119,000 plus. So then Ontario, I mean, even though they've got 121 ridings, they're up there in the population density. Then you get to Quebec, 108, Manitoba, 95, Nova Scotia, 88, Saskatchewan, 80, New Brunswick, 77, Newfoundland and Labrador.
You got to give them at least one, right? Like even if your population's only is under what, say, the threshold is. Because I would agree that those should be done by population, but you got to give even the little places one, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you only got 40,000 people, you still get one at least. Otherwise you're just completely out to lunch.
Yeah.
Then it's just a furthering of what we feel in the West, except to a much larger extent.
Yeah.
Not that one would matter. Anyway, we'll see what happens. I think if we were to assume the best. If we were to give that all of the that they were all just going to support their own agendas and not get greasy, which is what my concern is, that it's going to get greasy again. But if they were all just to go in and to do their own agendas, it's a healthy outcome for democracy, I guess, where it's like hard, you need someone else's. I'd prefer if you needed even like if everyone needed two parties, you know, like if it wasn't going to be a conservative, so we could flip some big stuff back quick, it'd be better if the NDP couldn't just do it. I'd rather if it was like, you need the NDP and the Bloc on board for anything you want to push through. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's the best loss you could have hoped for. Cause I was for a minute there, I was like,
that's what I was trying to say before.
It's going to be a majority and they can just steamroll us right out of the gate. Like we said in that piece that you read, you know, if you have a majority government in Canada, then for all intents and purposes, you have a dictatorship. You can do whatever the fuck you want and basically no one can stop you. And hopefully, I mean, it's the NDP. All eyes are on the NDP right now. What are they going to do? Are they going to be a real party again? Or are they just going to fold to the Liberals and further dissolve? What's the new leader going to do? I mean, that's the crazy thing about our system is those MPs can't even make individual decisions. They'll wait till they have a new leader. And hopefully it's a guy that, you know, is an orange guy.
What do you think of some of this stuff that Stephen Punwasi's been saying, and some of the people, this is more on the conspiratorial side, but serious question. How was Canada's election winner called by media outlets with fewer than 18% of polls counted? And they're saying that like these things were called, somebody else had it where it was 7 minutes after the polls closed, they called it. And the polls closed out west, they called it for the Liberals right away.
I don't know. I assume they just have some sort of, I don't know.
This website was down and the Elections Canada website was down and they called it. I mean, You see why these things fuel conspiracy theories, right? I tried to go to the website multiple times. I finally got in once only, but, and then the polls close, the media calls it and the website's down. Like, this is why we have conspiracy theories, because of that kind of stuff.
He says, just for the record, it's not unusual for the prime minister to be called before Alberta and BC are done, because that's just the way that it's rigged. The system is rigged in such a way that if enough people by Ontario, if you have enough people going the right way, then you just already know how it's going.
Yeah, true. Let me just stick to that. I know, but I don't think they were, like, when they were showing the colors on that website, right? Like, mm-hmm. like light red and light blue, you know, my friend and I were talking about it. He was like, well, no, there's an algorithm that shows that that's going to win. Right. And no, when I was on that show last night on the Schmidt House and all that, it was just because they're winning. They could have one vote. They could have counted one riding and it's 20 to 10 for red. And they put a red color on there. So, you know, it's not an algo that says red's going to win. They were flipping back and forth a lot, but it's just who's leading, right? But everybody thinks there's you know what I mean? Not everybody yeah. thinks there's a magic algo, but let me play what this guy's going to say here quickly.
So something is really fishy with what's going on with this election here in Canada. I was supposed to be working for Elections Canada tonight in Durham region, which is just east of Toronto. And so what my job was is when the votes are done at each polling station, they get brought to the office. I was there to make sure all the packages were sealed, all the documentation was in order, so then the votes can be tabulated and counted. Not a single vote in Durham region had been counted yet. None of them had been brought to the office yet. Then I go on my phone and I see CTV declaring the Liberals the winners. It's like, how is this even possible? Here we have, you know, one of the biggest areas just east of the GTA, Pickering, Ajax, Whippy, Oshawa, Uxbridge. Not a single vote counted. And then, oh, CTV says the Liberals win. And then CBC follows in that. This reeks. How is this even possible? Something's fishy. Something's not right. There's got to be some sort of investigation into this because it's not right.
And I'm not saying I agree with him or anything like that, but this is another reason why people are like, oh, you know, it's rigged, blah, blah, blah. Because why are they so fucking fast to call it? You got to admit they're calling it as fast as they possibly could. Minutes after the polls close, Liberals got it. Boom. Why would they do that? Is it to drill in the narrative to Canada that they've lost? Like that, I really feel like it's a propaganda exercise. It might not change the outcome, but it's just to drill it in, to just bring it home. Sorry for the pun.
Or maybe they're just ready to say they were right.
Maybe, right. Yeah, they can't wait to just say they're right, that Canada's going to be okay because the red is going to win.
Hopefully this is the type of thing, though, that gets the other parties riled up enough to call an election. I'll vote again. Oh my God, this is the cringiest shit ever.
Here's your elbows up, leader. There you go.
I don't think he's even saying the right words.
Oh, it's just so cringy. Like, oh, imagine just, I wouldn't even want that job if I had to just dance like that. Dance with your elbows up. Just show the people that you're dancing with your elbows up. So you know what the next one is? Alberta's going to, well, you know what Alberta's going to do to
elbows down. Combat?
Gloves off.
Ooh.
Drop the gloves. Gloves
off. I want to take a moment to congratulate Prime Minister Carney on his victory. He has an important job to do to represent all Canadians and to protect our country and its sovereignty from the threats of Donald Trump. Tonight and every night, all of us here, we're on Team Canada. We want Canada to thrive, and we're going to continue to fight for Canada. Obviously, I know this night is a disappointing night for New Democrats. We had really good candidates that lost tonight. I know how hard you worked. I spent time with you. You're amazing. I'm so sorry you're not going to be able to represent your communities. Choosing to commit your life to politics obviously comes with some sacrifice. But we choose this life because of the chance to change the country we love for the better. We may lose sometimes, and those losses hurt. You know, it's tough. But we are only defeated if we stop fighting. We're only defeated when we believe that those that tell us that we can never dream of a better Canada, a fairer Canada, a more compassionate Canada. I have met New Democrats from coast to coast to coast who will never back down, even when they're told that there's no room for them at the table. We make room for everyone because we believe that there is enough wealth in Canada for all of us to live the life that we deserve. Honestly, I got to avoid making eye contact with certain people because then it's going to get too emotional up here. So I just made the mistake of doing that. So I'm going to look away now. You know who you are. Don't look at me again.
I was
elected the leader of this incredible party, this incredible movement. I've worked really hard to be worthy of this trust, to live up to the legacy of our movement. Hold on a sec, I guess.
Is he wearing his Rolex?
He's pretty natural, though. I really appreciate his kind of naturalness, you know? Like, he doesn't, you know, he's a clown,
tonight,
you know,
I've been forward a party leader that I'll be stepping down as party leader as soon as an interim leader can be appointed. Now, I could not have done this incredible job without, here's a point I'll, give me a second to break down a bit. I couldn't have done it without the incredible support of my wife, Kirkinen. Also, I might break down this part because, and Anhad and Dani, my daughters, remind me of the future. God damn it, that we are fighting for. It's a good thing that there's water here. This water is very strategically placed for me. I often speak about something my mom taught me. It's a Sikh teaching of Chardikala. And this is something fundamental to who I am. And it means the words break down. Chardi means rising and Kala means spirits. And it's something that is, it captures a big part of who I am. And it's the idea that in the fight for justice, in the fight for fairness, in the fight that we fight, we want to have optimism in the face of struggle. We want to have a defiant optimism. It's like this eternal resilience. And this is a spirit that I carry tonight. Obviously, I'm disappointed that we could not win more seats, but I'm not disappointed in our movement. I'm hopeful for our party. I know that we will always choose hope over fear and optimism over despair and unity over hate. New Democrats literally built this country. Love you all. Every one of you. You're amazing. Thank you. Thank you.
So there you have it. I don't know any of the New Democrats well enough to predict a leader.
Neither do I. But I mean, can we just continue with some little conspiracy theories before we move on?
Sure.
I don't know if it's, you know, I'm not saying it's rigged or anything like that, but it's there's some anomalies, but I think in general, Canada's is pretty tight compared to the
I've heard US. It's pretty hard to, yeah. Pretty hard to fuck with. It would be pretty hard to fuck with.
This is from Justin Trudeau's brother-in-law, Kyle Kemper. Did Uncle Mark's friend help him out yesterday by sabotaging the Elections Canada website? So there's Martin Schroeder, chairman and CEO of Kindrel. And I guess Kindrel is the heart of progress. We design, build, manage, and modernize the mission critical systems. I guess that I'm assuming he's saying that Kindrel is part of the Elections website.
Developing team.
Yeah. Then here's the other one. This is wrong. So I'm going to call it out, I think, right now. 7.3 million Canadians voted by mail. This is from Julian Assange, who is not Julian Assange.
But oh, my God. That's the X is a fucking dumpster fire now.
24,000 followers.
I think that's really Julian Assange.
I don't know. He follows me.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm on the show.
I feel like so. Yeah. But this is like a good. Right? This is like perpetuating these theories, right? 7.3 million Canadians voted by mail, not in person. The Auditor General's report, over 5 million fake social insurance numbers in Canada, which is all you need for a mail-in ballot. Mail-in ballots make detection of election fraud practically impossible. Most countries ban mail-in ballots. They have seen mail-in ballots. They've seen massive vote fraud problems. Now, wasn't 7.3 just advanced voting?
No, I'll find out.
Well, no, we know it is. It was advanced voting. He's talking about this, how these social number insurance, social numbers were changed. Social insurance numbers were changed. High turnout, due to the high turnout in this election, particularly those by those voting by special ballot and at advanced polls. So I just don't like how he's perpetuating the mail-in ballots when a lot of it was just people going early, right? That's 7.3 million. I mean, that's almost half the total vote, right? That wasn't all mail-in. That was, that had to be.
Not even close. I can give you the mail-in numbers.
Sure.
So voting kits issued to electors living in their riding and voting either by mail from inside their riding or at an Election Canada's office inside their riding, 969,000.
Yeah, so let's say a million votes by mail.
Vote kits returned to Election Canada, 928,000. Voting kits issued to electors living in their riding but voting either by mail from outside the riding or blah, 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 a quarter million. So total 1.2 million.
Which is still a lot, I guess, but
Well, look at that. It'll even tell you the top 10 ridings, so you could look at these ridings and see if they were...
Okay.
If they cost the Conservatives. Like,
okay, hang on. Let's do that quickly. I'm in the Canada federal election one, and I can go by riding. So give me a riding.
Orleans.
Okay, I got it. Okay, it was Liberal by like huge percentage, massive percentage.
More than 11,000 votes.
It was by like 30,000 votes. Like this could be the biggest crush of them all.
So even if every other mail-in vote was a fake, they still would have won. What about Dartmouth Coal Harbor?
Dartmouth Coal.
I feel like they went conservative.
Dartmouth Coal Harbor. Okay. That one is Liberals almost 40,000, Conservatives 13,000. So again, way ahead.
Doesn't matter. North Island, Powell River, BC.
Oh, that one might be different. That's Aaron Gunn's riding. So Aaron Gunn won with 38.8% of the votes, 31,356 over Tennille Johnston, NDP. That's one of the ones where the NDP and the Libs were all tight. Like, so 21,000 for the Libs, 26,000 for NDP, and 31,000 for Conservatives.
So definitely not
11,000. I mean, you know, that could have
swung it, but not in the right direction.
Yeah, not for our analysis. Yeah, or not so for
Victoria. I'm assuming is pretty solidly Liberal as well. 10,000.
Oh yeah, probably Victoria. I bet they won by 30. Yeah, so 39,800 at Victoria over 18,000 NDP.
Vancouver Quadra. Yeah,
wonder what that is.
Quadra. You can get the full list of ridings.
Oh, stuff. Yeah. Quadra's a massive. It won by 35,000 over 17,000, too.
So, Ottawa Center. So there's a full list of ridings available.
Wow. Yes, you killed this one. 51,000 Liberal again, over 15 NDP and 12 Conservative.
So far, I did get the full list here, but
yeah, I think so far you can tell that really it doesn't seem to. Oh, actually, there's going to be quite a. It does
go, a shitload in Alberta. None of those are going to matter. The Saskatchewan ones don't matter. They're mostly all Ontario. You'd have to go through it.
But like it would be a Brampton, like Brampton one, for example. Brampton would be a good area there. That was really tight for the longest, right up to the very end. Brampton, there was four Bramptons. Now let me see where they are here.
So Brampton, Ontario had 2,000.
Brampton, Ontario?
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of Bramptons.
Yeah, there's five Bramptons.
Yeah, so Brampton South. Brampton Center, Chicacuzzi Park or whatever, Brampton East and North. So which one?
Well, they're all around 2,000.
Okay, well,
1,300, 1,600,
2,000. Okay, well, that's really tight. So they're all super tight. They're all very, very tight. Within 4%, 4%, 1%, 2%, 2%. So, yeah, they're all super tight. So, yeah.
There's a list here of all 344 ridings and how many mail-in voting kits were returned for each one. So someone could do, I'm not going to do it because that sounds crazy.
Well, the thing is, it seems very even, right? So far, the list seems very even. From the top 10, it goes from 11,800 to 8,600. So to me, it's not like there's a big, if you saw a big variance in the top 5 or 10, maybe you'd like, oh, maybe they're like targeting.
Yeah, but we could win it in all those little Brampton ones, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally. The Brampton ones. Yeah, the Brampton ones for sure.
Which is how you'd want to do it if you're going to cheat. You'd want to do it in all those little ones. And
especially in Brampton, it would be like, I feel like that would be open for manipulation for some reason.
So there is someone couldn't get the full CSV and cross-reference it with all. I wonder if AI could do that. I wonder if you could give the AI that list of mail-in.
But what are you going to find out, though? Because to me, if you see the full list, see how it goes down and see how even it is the whole way. I think
that would get it to compare the list against how many votes you won by. So how many ridings were actually in the swing zone of mail-in votes where the mail-in votes could have swung them, and then which ones from there could have swung the election or were already, you know?
That would be a good analysis. Yeah, that would be good.
It would, but it seems overwhelming.
There would be too many. There would be like 30 or 50 ridings that were within that
thing. Yeah, it'd be too many. It would end up being too many.
So I guess there is. I mean, that million of mail-ins is very powerful, I suppose. I mean,
we should try and cheat next year. Let's try and get some fake sins on the dark web and see if we can cast to 50 votes. Anyway, what else you got? I'm out of stuff.
Are you? Okay. Well, one here, I got one here. Cause I mean, really, we haven't even talked about this yet, but really, I mean, especially along the mainstream, it seems like, I think that's you sharing that. So is, I mean, people are blaming, you know, who's to blame. I mean, everybody's blaming him. Right. So.
Who will vote Republican out of the deal. So.
Trump, everyone's blaming
Trump. Donald Trump. Since you basically just fucked over us Canadian conservatives at the election, ensuring the destruction of our country.
He's got to talk in the conservative accent, too. That's the Alberta accent there.
Perhaps the least you could do is offer us some kind of special visa or refugee status for us Canadians that want to buy a house in the United States now. You've left us no option. Many of us would rather be American than live under another liberal regime. So maybe the least you could do is toss us a fucking bone and give us a special visa. You'll get 2-3 million Canadians who will vote Republican out of the deal. So I'd seriously think about it. Northern Liberty out.
That's from Jay, Gen Xer. Hey, Trump, thanks for giving the liberals the TDS vote.
Hey, Mr. President, Donald Trump.
I like it. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting year.
Oh, it's going to be very interesting. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting like months.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, should we wrap up then?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, yeah, exciting time.
I mean, it could be just an interesting show on Friday. Let's see how much has changed by the end of the week.
Yeah, we'll do another one on Friday. Sure.
Okay, guys, thanks for tuning in. Of course, alist.ca. If you want to support what we're doing here, if you're watching on YouTube, like, subscribe, and share, leave a comment. But yeah, if you want to support us, you can do it at thealist.ca. There's a podcast form of everything we do over there. You can share with your friends. Check out grandamerica.ca for everything else we're up to. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you Friday.
Who's going to kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become Your opinions then become as fickle as artificial flavors.
What
matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become, as brittle as communion wafers.
What matters most to you?
What the Holy Ghost told you to do?
Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true.
I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun, your idea of fun, is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face.
Matters most to you
what the celebrity's post told you was cool,
or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true.
I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your sacred cow.